Please be seated. May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our readings this Sunday are concerned with the strength that can be found from God's love and how it is expressed through friendship and community. I think one of the most powerful lines comes from our reading from Acts, where Paul shouts to his jailer, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." For me, it is a touching scene that this man, a presumably Roman citizen, who is about to kill himself for failing in his duties, is reassured and brought into a relationship with the Lord Jesus. What is striking about this narrative, however, is that it all seems to happen at a great speed. After the violent earthquake, the jailer rushes in to see what has happened, soon after decides to take his own life, talks to Paul and washes his and Silas's wounds at the same hour, and is then baptized along with his whole household, which we are told happens without delay. This begs the question, why the hurry? The more obvious answer is the expectation of Jesus' imminent return, a fact that Jesus himself says in the revelation to John, "Surely I am coming soon." But perhaps it is also because the world is a terrifying place, a place that Jesus himself knows will be fraught with danger for his disciples after his ascension. As the Danish philosopher Søren Kierkegaard has it, in these times of ours, whoever is now about to play a part on the stage of life's theatre is just like the man who travelled from Jericho and fell among robbers. This may be pessimistic, but it is clearly the case for the poor unsuspecting jailer who preferred death to facing the wrath of his superiors, and who we shall return to in a moment. On the bank holiday, I went up by train to see two friends in Norwich, equipped with my Lord of the Rings Warhammer figures, something my friend John shares a passion for. But after wandering around and getting back to John's apartment, we were both too tired to look at, let alone paint, our models. He told me that he wished he had more time to do the things he enjoyed, and that his job didn't take up so much of his energy. Luckily for John, he has the option in a few months to scale things down a bit and take on a more flexible position. And I can't think of anyone who deserves this more than John. But many people don't have this light at the end of the tunnel and must instead keep going with no end to the demands on their time. I refuse to believe that the jailer in Acts was at breaking point simply because of his encounter with Paul and Silas. At first, he seems like a minor role character, the man who merely carries the instructions of the magistrates. But looking at him more closely, this is clearly a man who has had enough. We are told he follows instructions, and that he does so to the letter, putting Paul and Silas in the innermost prison, fastening their feet securely in the stocks. He could not have done more, and yet he fails anyway. This reminds me of someone else who has been in the public eye recently, who is seen by many to have failed, no more so, I think, than by herself. In fact, I saw several people reading newspapers on my journey to Norwich on the weekend, with her face, tearful and emotional, enlarged for all to see. This person is, of course, our Prime Minister, Theresa May. I was, to be honest, saddened by some of the negative responses to her speech, but floating out among them was one I have to agree with, from the BBC political editor, Laura Koonsberg. She says, "No one could ever accuse the departing Prime Minister of not caring enough." I think this is often a trait that is undervalued, the value of caring deeply for what we do, with our society more focused on results than how we conduct ourselves. The second friend I went to visit introduced me to a form of psychological therapy she has found interesting and helpful. called person-centered therapy. As the name suggests, it seeks to bring the individual closer into the picture of psychology, focusing, for instance, on what a person cares about, the things that drive them, their aspirations and values. One of my lecturers at university, Ferdia Stone Davis, calls this an individual's world-making. That is, an attempt to make sense of the human person, the environment in which she is situated, and the relationship between the two. We all come up against our environment, external pressures and demands, things that we do not believe we can deal with. What makes these situations even harder are our own goals, the things we wish to express about ourselves, for our own sense of wealth, not wealth, self-worth and well-being. As a personal example, this is the reason I decided to study my chosen master's course, Christianity and the Arts. I knew that my Christian faith was important to me, and yet I wasn't sure how to express it as an adult out in the world. It's a course that took me 2 years to complete, and I wouldn't have managed it without the help of my parents, my granddad, who invited me into his home, and my friend Eleanor. And I would say especially Eleanor, who gave me the space to have a minor breakdown in her flat after an episode of writer's block writing my 15,000-word dissertation. And this reminds me of Jesus' prayer to the Father in our Gospel reading. Jesus knows that he must soon ascend to the Father and wants to ensure the bonds between his friends are as strong as they can be. He asks his and our Father to protect us by guiding us into unity. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one, as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one. Without Jesus' physical presence on earth, we must be the body of Christ, a body that is broken, fragmented, but stronger because of the support of one another. Do not harm yourself, for we are all here, is a statement that bears witness to the sense of togetherness that comes from being a Christian. The scene in Acts ends with the sharing of food, which may have included a post-baptismal Eucharist, and I like the fact that before our Eucharist at St. Peter's, we say together, though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. As partakers in the body of Christ, we are all brought into a unified whole with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And without this shared experience of faith, the world becomes a much more frightening place. I would like to end with a prayer from the revelation of John to John. Let us pray. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let everyone who hears say, come. And let everyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wishes take the water of life as a gift. The one who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. Amen.